morning, folks. You know, most of you don't know me well, but over the I have led quite a few organizations. Being a banker for 21 years and a leader in the bank, and sitting on 12 different not-for-profit board of directors, as well as churches and leading churches. And one thing I found is that organizations are difficult to lead, and churches are no different. It's possible to be a large church and not be an effective church. A group of people can gather together one or two times a week and sing some songs and listen to a sermon and maybe say a prayer or two and call it church. But that does not constitute an effective church. An effective church is a church that worships and glorifies God. It seeks to guide the lost people to salvation in Jesus Christ. It disciples and matures believers. It serves the community in unconditional love. And it does it all for the glory of God, not the church. This morning, I want you to know that God's will for First Alliance Church of Orlando is to be effective for Him. Our goal as a church is to be successful for the glory of God. Now, let me define what I mean by success. Success is, number one, knowing God's will. Number two, it's opening the road to Jesus, removing those stumbling blocks that I spoke about last week. Success is us bearing witness of our Jesus Christ experience. Success is us sharing the gospel message. Success is us advancing God's kingdom. And success is ensuring that God is glorified. And when all this is done effectively, then Jesus builds His church. How many of you would agree with me this morning that Paul was effective in building churches and the kingdom of God? Oh, yeah. Yeah. We have a lot of proof of that success, don't we? Most of the book of Acts documents his success. And of course, we have 13 books of the New Testament that are attributed to him. So I thought it would benefit us to examine some of the things that made Paul successful for Christ. Things that can lead First Alliance Church of Orlando to be an effective church for the glory of God. Are you with me? All right. Let's turn to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, verses 6 to 15. Let me read that for you. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight to Samothrace. And the next day, we went to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who gathered there. Notice there weren't too many men there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house, and she persuaded us. Let's pray. Dear Lord, this is your word and your truth. And Lord, our desire for you this morning is that you open up your truth to our hearts, Lord. Lord, may we hear from you in a powerful way, Lord. Guide us through your word. Open up our hearts. Reveal yourself to us this morning through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Up to this point, Paul had been traveling with Barnabas, his mentor. And they had been successful in building God's kingdom and planting churches. And so they made plans to visit the churches that they had established. But there was a sharp disagreement between them over whether or not to allow John Mark to go with them. And as a result, they split up. Barnabas went off with John Mark, and Paul chose Silas to join him. And Paul and Silas went through Syria and Cilicia, visiting churches. They traveled to Derbe, they went to Lystra, and they met a young man by the name of Timothy. And Timothy joined them in their journey and their ministry. And they continued their travels through the region, encouraging the established churches and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as a result, churches were established, churches were strengthened, and the kingdom increased in number daily. Then they made plans to move their ministry into Asia. But they found out that God had other plans for them. They tried to go into Asia one way, and that didn't work, so they tried to go in another way. And though their intentions were honorable, their plans were not what God intended for them. However, their heart's desire was for God's kingdom, saving lost souls and fulfilling the Great Commission to go and make disciples of all nations. Which takes me to essential number one of an effective church: desire. The desire to minister to and serve the Lord. If we have the desire to be in God's will and to do God's work, He will guide us. The keys are having this hunger and thirst to obey His will. We also got to be sincere about wanting to be in the will of God. And we must take seriously the model prayer given to us by Jesus: Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. From the reading, we can see that Paul had a desire to share the gospel in Asia, but the Holy Spirit would not allow them. Paul had the right intention, but the wrong direction. But his actions before, during, and after show us the importance of having a desire to minister to and serve God. Now remember that Paul had been called and commissioned by none other than the resurrected Jesus Christ. In Acts 9:15, we're told of his mission for God. He is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And from that moment, the moment that Jesus confronted him on the Damascus Road, Paul was obedient to that calling. You see, he had experienced the love and the forgiveness of God found in Jesus Christ. And since he had experienced the love, his greatest desire was to see people come to faith in Jesus Christ. He wanted everybody to experience that same love, that same joy that he felt. And even though he had to face all kinds of hardships and persecutions, he was never deterred from his mission. His biggest desire was to do the ministry that he had been called by God to do. As a church, we have a calling. We have a specific purpose. This church still exists because God has a plan for it. A plan to build his kingdom through First Alliance Church in Orlando. And a desire to minister and serve God is the first essential step towards being an effective church. But we must make sure that our desire is within God's will. And this leads us to essential number two of an effective church: discernment. Discernment. Discernment is the ability to hear and know God's will. It's also a spiritual ability that enables us to know right from wrong, and it also allows us to know good people from evil people, right? Though it can be a gift of the Holy Spirit given to an individual, like most gifts, the Holy Spirit can provide it to others as needed. You know, and I know for many of us, God's will is not always easily discerned. You know why? Usually because we don't stop to listen. We don't stop to listen. That's one reason. Reason number two is the noise of the world seems to block out that still, soft voice that is meant for us as individuals. See, when we want to hear God, what do we expect? We expect thunder, lightning, a booming voice. But when God has a message that is meant for you, he intimately whispers in your ear. And if you're not listening, or there are too many peripheral sounds around you, you miss his voice. So we must purposely stop and listen intently for God. And I love during the worship service, it was just that time of the music. And we went into prayer. We need to do more of that. And just be still before the Lord as we worship together and listen for his voice. But God can also take another route, right? God's plan was clearly not evident to Paul and Silas. They traveled over 600 miles before God's will became clear to them. However, with the lack of specific direction from the Lord, they acted on his general direction. What's his general direction? Well, he's given us two commands that I see as his general direction for us. First is found in Matthew 28. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. That's his general direction. The other one is found in Acts chapter 1. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. They operated on his general direction, and that direction is always found in Scripture. So in the absence of God's specific direction, operate your life in his general direction, as found in Scriptures. The more we know, listen to, and study the Word of God, the easier it is to hear his voice, recognize his voice, and know his will. Let me give you a secret of seeing God's will in Scripture. When you're reading Scripture, don't just look at it for content. Don't just read it for knowledge. When you read Scripture, read it to hear God's voice and message specifically for you. Okay? This is the A in TAP that David Remenschneider presented a couple of weeks ago. Remember back then? It was probably a couple of months ago, right? Practical application. When you sit down to read Scripture, pray, speak, Lord, for your servant listens. And then be still before the Lord and watch how loudly you will hear God speak to you through the Holy Spirit and his Scripture. Know that God's desire for you will never, ever, ever go contrary to Scripture and his character. We're told that Paul finally received specific direction from God. He got a vision from God A man from Macedonia in the vision pleads to him, come and help us. Now you got to understand something. If there was a culture in the world at that time that didn't seem to need help, it was the Greek culture. The Greeks had everything, and they were prideful about it. They had tremendous philosophers. They had great orators. They had fantastic architecture. They had quality arts. They had exciting sports, and their language was the internationally accepted language. Anything they wanted, they had, but there was one thing they did not have. They did not have true hope, everlasting, eternal hope. And Paul was to go and introduce them to the love, forgiveness, and hope found in Jesus Christ. Folks, when God wants to give you specific instructions, when he wants you to go in another direction, he will guide you through the Holy Spirit. And in the future weeks, we're going to spend some time studying the work of the Holy Spirit so that we can understand it clearly and understand who the Holy Spirit is and what he does in our lives and for the ministry of Jesus Christ. But the key right now, what I want you to think about, is listening and getting to know his voice and having the desire to do his will. So prayer and fasting become a key to knowing God's specific will for your life and our ministry. And we're also going to spend some time in prayer and learning how to pray effectively and powerfully. Now, I know when I say fasting, most of you think of skipping a meal. I'm not one. I don't like to skip meals. How many of you like to skip meals? I'm not a meal-skipping type of guy. I want to redefine fasting for you. Fasting is eliminating what is distracting you for the purpose of relating to God and hearing his voice. Fasting is eliminating what is distracting you for the purpose of relating to God and hearing his voice. Fasting does not begin with giving something up. Fasting begins with prayer, worship, and listening. Fasting begins when we purposefully draw near to God. Does that make sense? Pray for the Lord to direct you in life and direct his church. And let's stop going to God only when we need his help in times of trouble. And start going to God to hear his will. And please note that even though you may have good intentions, God's direction is more important. Churches fail because they may be doing good things with good intentions that are not in God's will. There are many Christian churches that begin to serve in the Lord's will, and then they decide what they want to do is more important. And sometimes God wants to do something new, and the church refuses. So instead of following the Holy Spirit, the church follows their own desires. God tells them to go one way, and they go another way. God tells them to do one thing, and they do another. And as a result, Jesus stops building his church. Spiritual maturity stops, and God is not glorified. Sometimes we have worthy desires, but they are not what God would have us do. So we try to fit God's will into our plans. It doesn't work that way. If we're to be effective as a church of Jesus Christ and men and women of God, we must listen and follow the Holy Spirit's guidance. It's the only way for us to have proper discernment. And as we seek to move forward as Christian individuals and as a church, we must have discernment. There may be places we want to go, things we want to do, things we want to continue, and tasks that we want to accomplish. They may come from legitimate, pure desires. But God will not bless those that for the right reasons do things that are not in his will. Always take the proper steps to follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And when he says no, we must accept it and move in the direction that he provides. That's one thing we learn from Paul, isn't it? Which takes us to the next essential of an effective church: dedication or devotion. Direction from God is vital for consistent success, and it is intertwined with discernment. But knowing God's will is not enough. We must be dedicated to follow his direction. God gave Paul a vision, and the vision provided the team with the direction that they needed to move forward for God's kingdom. God wanted Paul to go to Macedonia and then eventually west to Rome. There were people for him to reach and things for him to accomplish for God's glory. So Paul did not continue trying to go into Asia. Instead, he changed his plans and headed into Greece. They became dedicated to God's direction, and the rest is history. As individuals and as a church, we must not lose sight of our purpose, calling, and mission. Our personal hopes, dreams, and desires that conflict with what God would have us to do must take a back seat to God's will. If we fail to follow God, we will miss opportunities that are waiting. There are people who need to hear the gospel who will not hear. There are people who need to be discipled who will be ignored. There are people who need encouragement who will be neglected. And there are communities and nations that need to be changed for his glory that will be lost. You know, I learned that lesson very early on. And I wasn't even pastoring yet. I was a seminary student. And my secretary at the bank had gotten badly mugged. So bad that she was in the hospital. And I was driving into work when I got the call, so I went directly to the hospital to see what was going on. And when I got there, she was in a hospital bed in an emergency, and her face was all messed up. And I heard the Lord say, pray for her. And as I was going to pray for her, doctors and nurses and everybody came in, and I backed down. And I, you know, she had asked me to do some things, so I left and went to the office, and I called her up after I did those things, and I said, well, how are you doing now? And her response was, I'm better now. A woman came by and prayed for me. Thank God he sent somebody else, because I messed up. But I learned an important lesson. God asked me to do something, I should have done it, or somebody else is going to receive the blessing. Folks, when he asks us to do something, we must go ahead and do it. And I've gone off my notes. When God gives a specific vision, we must, in full devotion, follow his direction. Now, I want to be perfectly clear. When God is giving direction to his church, he does not only speak to the pastor. He speaks to all those that are involved. You know, one of my favorite passages in scripture is found in Acts chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. Acts 13, 1 to 3. It says this: Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. See, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting. So the church is here was ministering to God, and God showed up. And the Holy Spirit spoke to who? Them. And they laid hands on Paul and Barnabas. See, the leaders, when God is changing the direction of ministry, he will speak to the whole leadership. And if there's a major dissension from those that are in prayer, worshiping and fasting, then something is wrong. Sometimes you will find a dissenting voice, and make sure that they are in a right place with God, and make sure that you have not moved too quickly in a new direction and God is trying to hold you back. The key is to confirm that what you hear is from God. Notice that in Acts chapter 13, they heard from God, and what did they do? They went back to worship and fasting before changing direction. They went further time of listening, but not procrastination. Folks, it is not enough to simply know what God wants from us. We must be ready and more than willing to go and do it. I like to add a letter to that tap that David Rebenschneider gave us, right? An R for personal and active response. It's not enough just to know his will. We got to be ready to go do something. Right? We have to respond, which leads us to the final essential of an effective church, determination. When Paul received the call, he did not delay. They immediately set out to go to where the Lord had called them to go. When God gives us direction, we must take action in his timing. And in this case, it was immediate action. Yeah, and I love that the scripture gives us Paul's itinerary. Right? This trip was no joke. It wasn't nonstop. They went from ship to Troas to Neapolis to Philippi. And you know they had delays along the way. Right? This trip not only took dedication, but it also took determination to get to where God was sending them. And notice that as they were going, God was working. God had already begun to prepare the hearts of those that the team would encounter there. And as soon as they reached Macedonia, people came to Christ. Folks, we must have the determination to obey God's will. Even when he sends us in a direction that's difficult. Even when he calls us to go to people we don't want to go to. Even when he calls us to stay places where we don't want to stay. Even when he calls us to do things that we don't want to do. Even when he calls us to change or stop what we're doing. And even when what he calls us to do will take much time and effort, we must be determined to obey God. You know, there's some people that need to be determined to just get out of bed and out of their homes and back to church. Yeah. And that's you people that are up there. Some of you I know can't make it in. But if you can make it in, you should be in church. But that's a message for another day. God has work for the First Alliance Church of Orlando. You know, I love our vision and mission statements. Anybody know what the mission statement is? Anybody know? All right. We love, we serve, we send. We love, we learn, we serve, we send. Anybody know the vision statement? It's up there already. To see individuals and families transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ into a vibrant community of disciples that impacts Orlando and the world. It's kind of long to remember. God is leading you as individuals to be the church, not attend church. We must resolve that we are going to be faithful ambassadors of Jesus Christ at all times. And build his kingdom for his glory. Then, as I said earlier, Jesus would build his church. Why do I keep saying that? Because that's what Jesus promised, right? He said, I will build my church. We just have to be faithful to what God has called us to do. We must continue our journey until the task that God has placed before us is complete. We must persevere no matter what difficulties we encounter. Even in the face of persecution and spiritual warfare, we must follow God's will. We must be determined to be what God would have us to be, to go where He would have us to go, and to do what He has called us to do. Worship team, come on up. Let me wrap this up. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, 58. He said, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." Your labor is not in vain. That should encourage us. No matter where we see we are as a church or as an individual, your labor is not in vain. But it starts with our desire to glorify God, wanting to serve and minister in the name of Jesus Christ. And there should be a contagious excitement in God's people to do His will. It means that we must strive to discern God's will for our lives and for the church. Worship, prayer, and fasting must become a way of life, not just a Sunday thing. It means that we must be dedicated to move in the direction that God leads us. God blesses whole communities when His church responds to Him in surrender and obedience. And we must be determined to see God glorified. We're to play a role in helping others to see His kingdom grow. And this means a maximum effort on the part of God's people. What is God's will for First Alliance Church of Orlando? What does He want us to do? I've shortened the vision statement to make it easier for us to remember. To see all people transformed by the good news of Jesus Christ for the glory of God. To see all people transformed by the good news of Jesus Christ for the glory of God. And for us to be successful, we need to begin in prayer. Let's pray.